Welcome to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. I am your co-host, but today I'll be your host, Anthony Dittmar. That's on Twitter, Anthony Dittmar _. I am joined by my other co-host, Joe Farrow, on Twitter. That is at the Joe Farrow. Cody could not join us today. Has a lot of obligations. We want to get a pod out there for you guys recapping the playing game yesterday. So, Joe, how you feeling?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great. That was an awesome game. I was there. I have spent way too much money on Nets tickets in the last couple weeks. And they've all been kind of spur of the moment kind of thing. I mean, Anthony, me and you decided, what, as soon as Kyrie got cleared to play, three days ahead of time that we're going to buy tickets. So we did that. Then we had already bought tickets for April 8th, went to that Cavs game. And then my one friend hit me up on Monday and said, hey, you want to go to the game? I'm like, all right, fuck it. So we bought the tickets, man. It was so good to be there. The atmosphere was electric. The Barclays Center workers gave out free towels to wave and free t-shirts to everybody. So that was a nice little welcoming right out of the gate. And obviously we saw a great game and a huge and a fantastic outcome for the Nets last night in a really, really good game. So I'm feeling fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. How was like, so obviously we want to take a little moment of remembrance for the shooting that took place yesterday in Brooklyn by the practice facility from the Nets. I know it took a while for guys to get into the arena because of the extra security measures and the difficulty to get the game because of subway and stuff or issues. Did you guys take public transport or did you guys drive?
Nah, I mean, we were going to drive anyway, but then we saw what happened yesterday morning and we were just like, yeah, there's no way we have to drive now. And I mean, we had to drive through that area coming from Central Jersey to get over there. And I mean, there was a couple times where we sat and like bumper to bumper standstill for like 10 minutes, but that's also just like, that also happens on a regular day in Brooklyn. But I mean, yesterday there was media like on every single corner, a lot of news anchors and cameras set up on every corner. Everybody's trying to cover the story near the area, but it definitely was more difficult getting in yesterday. You could tell while you were in there, like people were still flooding in to the arena like midway through the second quarter. By the fourth quarter, I mean, obviously it turned out well. Like it ended up being a good game down the stretch. And I mean, the Nets definitely should have put it away earlier. But people were still flooding in very late. But by the end of the game, that place was packed out, complete sellout, loud as all hell. I really don't know how it came across on the broadcast, but, man, it was loud in there, and everybody was fired up.
Yeah, I could tell. Just by, like, the way, like, the crowd was looking in the second quarter when the Nets went up, like, had that big run in the second to go up, like, 20 points. I was just, like, the crowd right now in the atmosphere is insane. Like, if we didn't go to so many games the last few weeks, I was considering going to the play-in. I was under the assumption that they would win the game, so I was kind of waiting to go to later rounds because Tuesday I have class and stuff, so it was kind of like a tough thing for me. But, yeah, I'm glad the Nets pulled off the win. I'm glad you had a good time at the game, great atmosphere. Let's talk about the game a little bit. So what a game of runs. I feel like that game was just, like, back and forth, like every Nets game, honestly. So the Nets started off that game, like, doing pretty well. Halfway through the first, they're playing pretty well, training buckets, they're up seven. And they go up, they open up the end of the first quarter on like a huge run, end up, I think, leading 40-20 after one. Kyrie had a nice buzzer beater. Go into the second, Cleveland gets it down to like 14-12 a couple times, kind of hovering around there. And the Nets boom again, like a little bit, and then it gets down to 14 again at the half. Open up the second quarter, go up 20. Then once again, always at the end of the third, it goes down to like 12. Then the fourth, it gets all the way down to six. And then you start like, oh, shit, like, what's going to go on here? What's going to go on? Like, I don't know about you. I was a little nervous when it got down to six.
No, we were very nervous because Darius Garland was heating up late. And it was just like, man, what the fuck did we get ourselves into? It felt like we were like almost playing with our food a little bit because it just had that feeling like, okay, like after the first quarter, it's like, okay, Claxton hits like a buzzer-beating jumper almost to end the first quarter, like a long two.
Yeah.
And then that puts us up 20, and we're just like, oh, okay, like we've got this thing handled. But it's just like the Cavs stuck around, and there was a lot of talk on the internet saying Caris LeVert thinks he's still playing for the Nets or whatever everybody was saying, and that was pretty funny. Caris LeVert definitely did not play well, definitely did not play up to his standards, but it was just like, Darius Garland put on an absolute show. And I mean, in that first quarter, what worked is
every time he would attack, the Nets would just suffocate him in the paint. Like, he couldn't do anything. And, like, Mobley obviously was getting his rebounds, and he's just so long, and that guy was all over the place. But the Nets, it felt like throughout the game, started to get away a lot from the stuff that was working for them early on. They got back to that suffocating defense on Garland late, and that's how they were able to put the game away. But, man, it definitely was scary for a while. Kyrie couldn't miss through three quarters, literally.
Start the game.
Yeah, literally. And it's like, at least in my section, everybody was just like, what the fuck? Like, when is he going to miss? Like, this is insane. And, like,
three shots, sadly.
Yeah, and it was just like, we were all watching and, like, just really, like, taking in the experience, just thinking, like, man, like, we've been so focused on all the other shit that's going on. Like, this game is close still. Like, Kyrie is putting on an absolute magical performance. Kevin Durant is passing the ball like a maniac. Bruce Brown seems to be grabbing every rebound and is all over the place as usual. It's just like, and like, Claxton's blocking every other shot, it felt like.
It was like, insane, honestly. Like just watching that game, like, when they went up 22, I saw, like, Andre Drummond throw behind the back pass, and it was a turnover. And I was like, okay, like, I was thinking to myself, let's not get a little carried away with this, because, like, Darius Garland took a microwave score. Like, I know, like, this was a year and a half ago. We play the Cavs, I think of the Colin Sexton game, and they couldn't miss. And I was getting flashbacks of that, and I was just like, please don't play the game, like you said. Like, Garland was scoring. I know Kevin Love made a couple big threes. Like,
oh my God, he was like out of nowhere. Kevin Love came in because, like, we went to the game against the Cavs on Friday. And Kevin Love didn't do anything. He was just like another body out there. He knocks down like three threes, and it's like they were all very timely. It felt like
100%.
I believe it was Kyrie. There was like some sort of, it was either a steal or a block. Kyrie gets out in transition, nails a three, and it's like you look down for 2 seconds, all happy. And you look up and Kevin Love drains like a 35 footer. It's like, Jesus, like, he was all over the place too.
Yeah. Like, just to go over some stat sheets, I guess, since we're on the topic. So for the Nets, Andre Drummond had a really good game, 16-8. They didn't play him down the stretch, which I want to go into a little more when we go talk about rotations. Yeah. Kevin Durant with 25 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists. He didn't have his, like, he was like just an average game for Durant. Like, in the first half, it was kind of like the Nets are up 20 and Durant barely scored. I'm like, damn, like, if he's doing that.
Because it was like, it was the Kyrie Irving show, really, to start. And it was like, we were all focused on Kyrie not missing just because of the volume and the difficulty of the shots he was taking. But through the first half, KD and Kyrie both, I think, missed one shot combined.
13 for 14. Like, they shot the lights out of the ball.
It was like, or maybe that might have been by the end of the third. But, like, it was like, no, at half, one point, half, like, a significant mark.
Yeah.
It was half. Like, they missed one shot combined. It was ridiculous.
There, I
was like,
we were 13, all just,
like,
yeah,
kind of focused on that.
It was insane.
It was insane.
Kyrie finished with 34 and 12. It was the first time Kyrie and KD both had double doubles in the same game with assists. And Kyrie,
oh my God, wait, hold on. That's actually really funny because somebody did a like the trivia question, like, on the Jumbotron. And one of the questions was, Kyrie and KD are the first pair of Nets teammates to do blank in the same season. And the answer was finished with over 25 points per game. But one of the options was get a double-double in the same game. That's actually really funny.
That's never happened. So that was the first time, actually. I thought that was pretty cool. Kyrie had 12 assists. Durant had 11. They were getting a lot of guys involved. Bruce Brown had 18, 9, and 8. Very close to another triple-double. I know he was talking about it the other day, and KD was making fun of him. Nick Claxton, a very good 13, 9, and 5 blocks. Durant had 3 blocks himself, actually. I wanted to point that out. Yeah,
it was like, KD and Clax, both, like, they had to have straight-up glassed somebody at least like four times combined.
It 8 blocks, like, combined. Insane.
There was like, but it was all just like off the glass every single time. They were swatting the hell out of the ball, and it was unfortunate because a lot of them couldn't really capitalize and transition off of them because they were either going out of bounds or they were just going right back to the Cavs. But it was like they were blocking almost everything. It was nuts.
Great defense, and that's all around. And then the rest of the guys that played were Mills, Dragic, and Edwards. They all kind of struggled. Edwards looked like he was kind of scared out there. He was 0 for 5 from the field, kind of getting posted up on defense. Dragic just came off of COVID, so I'm going to give him a little bit of pass. He hasn't played since March 31st. Mills hit 2 timely threes, so I'd say he did what he had to do. Like, maybe he hit 1 or 2 more there, but you can't really complain. Shooting he was 2 for 5, so really not a terrible game for Patty Mills. Seth Curry kind of didn't struggle. He played 33 minutes, didn't score at all. He was 0 for 4. I know Twitter got waved off. So, like,
it was weird. It was very odd to see. Seth struggle like that, because it was just like the majority, like I don't think he even took like really a tough shot. They were all really just open and he wasn't on.
Yeah,
I hope this isn't like, I hope it doesn't turn into another Joe Harris situation, but like I'm not gonna go that far because he
let's give it like a series because he's
done enough for us to give him the benefit of the doubt with his shooting. So I'm not gonna trip over it one bad game, and like he's dealing with the ankle. He did a lot of the little things defensively, and just defensively diving for loose balls, fighting for rebounds, all the usual stuff that he does. So
just spacing the floor too. Like, you have to keep a look at that aspect too. Like, he kept the floor spaced. Yeah. And then what I was gonna say is, people are making comments that the Nets could only win this game by like 6 to 8 points with like KD and Kyrie playing flawless and with a good game from Drummond and Bruce Brown. But I like to point out the contrary. Like, Patty Mills, Goran Dragic, and Seth Curry, the Nets three like spacing point guards, give them almost zero to little offense. They had a total of 9 points combined, and that's six of them came from Patty. Like, come on. Like obviously some of those guys may go come down to the mean, but Bruce Brown's been playing at this level for like 2.5 months. This is not like an extra out of ordinary game. Like, Drummond and Claxton, like, they've been pretty solid like the last like stretch, and Durant's been back too. So I wouldn't say these are like out of the norm games. Like, Seth Curry getting 0 points is out of the norm. Like, I don't know if Magic is going to like to shoot the lights out of the ball. His main deal is to facilitate, but like, that's not really like that crazy. I feel like Kess is good to hit like two threes if he's out there with KD and Kyrie because of spacing. So I felt like,
and that's the other thing, because I believe in the Celtics series, it was the game where like, I believe it was Kyrie and Joe Harris struggled, and like Jeff Green went off for like 27. Like, that's a game that's out of the normal, even though like Jeff Green was like producing for us. Like, he was putting up like 9 points a game for us.
7 for 7 that game from three.
Yeah. But like Jeff Green, like, that's an out of the normal game, even though he's like, he was like producing big time for us last year. But like, for anybody to say that like Bruce Brown right now, the way he's playing is like out of the normal and it's not going to last, he's been doing this the entire second half of the season. And it's like KD said, he expects that from him at this point. And we should, because there's no reason not to. He's just been so good, nailing his threes consistently, fighting for rebounds, still doing all the stuff on the defensive end, diving for loose balls. He's even playmaking, and he's the main ball handler and the role man in the pick and roll. Like, he's able
the ball done. Yeah, I was going to say, Kyrie's playing off ball. We saw last year when James Harden was at his peak, Kyrie was at his best playing off the ball. Like, yeah, Kyrie's on the court sometimes, and so can KD. But Bruce Brown doing that and letting Kyrie and KD kind of like run some plays on the side and coming off ball is so deadly, and it's just insane. And like, the way they were running those screens, like yesterday, like when like Bruce Brown would penetrate and then like an extra pass to like Claxton or Drummond's, I just felt like the ball moving yesterday was insane. Like, the way they're just moving the ball around, like, it was better than like, just running ISOs.
It's almost, and it's also at the point where it's like, I don't know anymore if Bruce Brown is like, which one he's better at, as the ball handler or the role man in the pick and roll. He's been that good in every facet of the game.
And he still hits his 3-point shots now. Like, he, that's all stat. He's eighth in the NBA. I'm sure we talked this last pod. He's eighth in the NBA in 3-point percentage, like, since the All Star break. That's like a large sample size. It's not like we're talking about four games where he's like 5 for 6.
Like, yes. And it's like, it was also like minimum 50 attempts, because I saw like a graphic with that.
What I do like, so too, like, he like knows when not to shoot them. Like, yesterday he had a wide open look and he like was looking to pass because he knows like Kyrie and KD should be taking the majority of the shots. He'll take them to keep the defense honest. But he's not shooting like 7 of them a game because he knows he'll probably
like right now, the way Bruce Brown is playing, it is the epitome of Draymond Green. Like, peak Draymond Green. I'm not saying he's as good as peak Draymond Green, because peak Draymond Green was just otherworldly. But Bruce Brown right now, he's like under the mindset where it's like, good shot for a great one. And that's something Draymond would always preach. Like, that Bruce could take quarter, Bruce could take, Bruce could take the open three. He obviously can, but like, you have Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, as well as Seth Curry and like Andre Drummond or Nick Claxton down low, where you could all look to. Or like, even if Seth Curry's not there, Patty Mills. You know, like, he could take that three, but I feel like he thinks that three is a last resort, and he's still taking them and knocking them down when he can. But it's just like, he's like more focused still on getting other guys the looks that they should be getting, which is awesome.
Yeah, like yesterday, there was this one play that reminded me of Draymond, now that you mention it. So the Kyrie had the ball up top, and the defense came up as they would like with Steph on Golden State. So the double team comes. So the one defender comes off of Bruce. Bruce's rotate. So Claxton's down low. So Claxton defender comes up for Bruce to defend his floater, and he does that little floater to Claxton for an alley oop. And I'm just like, that's
he did that like four times.
Yeah,
like, there was like four really, Bruce like Brown like, alley to Nick Claxton's. There was like was four beautiful. Of the exact same play. It was awesome.
It was really nice to see the Nets offense actually roll without some ISOs and actually running some plays And like I said, Andre Drummond was great. Claxton was great at the center position. I think we found a rotation there. I'd be shocked if we see any Aldridge or Griffin at the playoffs unless we see an injury.
Like, well, according to Charles Barkley, that's going to be a big point for the Cavs to be able to stop them.
Oh, wait.
I'm Did sorry, you Cavs. See that?
The Celtics
Charles mean? Barkley. Charles Barkley was straight up talking out of his ass about the Nets. He was like, before the game, he said, the Cavs are going to need to find a way to contain LaMarcus Aldridge and Blake Griffin, all those guys. And then
before the game, or is this like after the game?
Before the game.
Oh my God. Dude, they haven't played in literally like a month.
I'm like, they haven't really played like in the second half of the season, like at all, both of them.
Yeah.
I'm like just... they've probably each played in like three games in the second half. Yeah, I'm just, like Charles Barkley was talking completely out of his ass. And I was like, oh geez. I'm like, you gotta be better.
Yeah, that, if you're watching Nets the last month, you know that's not true. Cam Thomas didn't play, which I wasn't really shocked about. Like, I don't see him playing a lot either, because it's just the way the rotation's going the playoffs, it gets very, very short. And it's just not gonna go that way. Just looking at Cleveland's box score really quick, he's like we said, Garland at 34-5. Kevin Love at 14, 3-4 shooting from three. LeVert struggled, 4-12 of the field, only 12 points. Mobley got 19. Markkanen 13. Okoro didn't even score. Rondo had some nice passes, and the rest of the bench really wasn't that great. Like, with the loss of Jared Allen was huge for the Nets. Feel bad for the Cavs, considering they had a really good start to the season. It looked like a lock to make the playoffs. And now they're going to be facing an elimination game on Friday at back home at Cleveland, either against the Hawks or Charlotte, depending on who wins tonight. So that's going to be tough, because I see the Hawks are going to be tough. Even Charlotte, like those teams get hot from three. If a team gets hot from three, I don't know if Cleveland has enough offense. I'd assume.
I'm really excited for that game, the Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets.
Well, that game's going to be fun tonight. The second game is a little stinky, the New Orleans San Antonio game, but
it's literally going to be, it's going to be CJ versus DeJounte. That game is going to be.
Yeah. Like, I think whoever wins that game is going to lose to the Clippers, to be honest.
Yeah, the Clippers
won yesterday. Shout out D'Lo.
Clippers ran into the monster of Patrick Beverly.
yesterday. That game was fun yesterday, though. That really was a fun game.
That was so much fun.
Arena got lit. Like, I didn't know the Seahawks had fans. I know they had fans, but I didn't think they were that fun. Like,
that game had a bit of everything. You had Patrick Beverly all over the place. Cat fouled out after a stinker. Anthony Edwards was showing that he's going to be like a top tier superstar. D'Angelo Russell went back to like ice in his veins, D'Lo. Yeah, that was definitely playoff
huge in my opinion. I feel like Memphis, like as great as Memphis has been this year, they're beatable. Like if the Clippers have Paul George, you need to get Kawhi back. They're very beatable for Memphis. And I think the T-Wolves Memphis is going to be a series. I don't think Memphis is going to steamroll them. Like I put Memphis on upset alert. I don't know if they'll lose that series, but I can see that.
I think both two seeds are going to lose.
I said that when we made
our picks last episode. I said the Timberwolves are probably going to win this playing game.
That's why I felt that play-in was bigger than our play-in. Like I know,
yes,
we didn't want to
because nobody because like even the eighth seed in the East, like I don't feel like anybody is truly that scared of Miami. Like
so, like that's like
yes, like you are terrified of playing Phoenix.
If Phoenix somehow gets like San Antonio or New Orleans, that might be the biggest slaughter I've ever seen in the playoffs. Like if somehow that happens.
No, I mean, I thought that's why I think that game was so intense, because it's like, would you rather play a young, inexperienced Grizzlies team, or would you rather play Chris Paul and Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and Cam Johnson, all these guys coming off a finals run?
Yeah, I agree.
Like, they all think that they should have won last year, and they're all disappointed. And they are motivated to get back. They're the best team in the league this year.
It was just
like, you do not want to play the Suns. Like, that's why that game probably had so much intensity. And, like, plus it's just, like, it's Patrick Beverley trying to prove a point to his old team. He said he was disrespected by the contract. He felt disrespected by the contract offer that the Clippers gave him, so he wanted to go out to another spot and prove that he could do what he does. And Patrick Beverley's another guy, like, in that, like, Bruce Brown, Draymond Green territory where they just do all the little things, and they constantly improve.
I make a living off of that. I give him a shout-out. I know they clowned them yesterday for kind of, like, over-exaggerating winning a playing game. Like, they were jumping on the scores table. They were crying.
Hey, that was, first home, like, playoff game in, like, a while. So, like...
They have two appearances in 17 years. And their one appearance, they got destroyed by the James Harden-led Rockets. So, like, that was, like, their first good moment in the playoffs probably in, like, two decades. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Maybe
the
it's
last
not
time
playoffs,
they had any, like,
but...
legitimate playoff success was, like, KG was still there, right?
Yeah. I know technically the play-in is not considered playoffs, because like I remember when Kyrie was 12-for-12, they said it technically wasn't – it would have been the best start of playoff history, not missing from the field, but technically the play-in is not considered the playoffs. still not considered the regular season, so I really don't know. I guess it's some like weird purgatory thing, but yeah, like it was.
I mean, Reggie Miller kept saying it last night. This is a playoff game. We're counting this as a playoff game.
I do too. That's how I see it. If you're facing elimination, that's a playoff game.
Yeah, you're facing elimination. That's exactly how I see it. Yeah, like so it's like the wild card game in baseball is considered a playoff game. Like,
I agree.
Call it how it is. You know,
it was fun. Honestly, the first game was nice. I was able to enjoy the second game. If the Nets lost, it probably wouldn't have been as fun to watch that second game because I've been worrying all week until Friday because it'd not be fun worrying about a do or die game Friday. So I'm glad the Nets just took care of business, didn't have to face elimination. So we don't have to worry about the play-in anymore. We're worrying about all year, ever since the Nets had like the 3-17 stretch. The play-in's done. Now we're in the playoffs. Seeds don't matter. Like, once you're in the playoffs, everyone's 0-0. I know it's a cliche saying, but the Nets are in, and they're playing the Boston Celtics, and they're getting revenge, even though they won the series last year. This is a different Celtics team, like we said. Like, we wanted to play them over Milwaukee. I think that's a fair assumption. Like, I think I'd rather play Miami, but like we said, we didn't want to face the elimination game. It's going to be a fun series. What do you think about the series against Boston? What are you looking for?
To start off, I'm not a fan of what Bruce Brown said after the game yesterday.
That was you don't want to give us bulletin board material. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, I mean, KD didn't like it either. But like,
what was the quote again? It was
he said not having Robert Williams is huge because now we could attack Horford and Tice.
You just don't want to say that because if you struggle, yeah. Like, Tice has like locked you down. It's just like. It's just another added pressure. And like KD even shut it down right away. Like, we don't want to give him that. It's the caffeine talking. Like, don't do that stuff. So it was just kind of like, whatever. He's a young player. He's finally coming to his own in the NBA. So I guess he's just excited.
Yeah.
He won a great game. He won a playing game. He's probably looking at a big contract this offseason. He's thinking about a title run potentially. So I get it. But one step at a time. It's very, very long steps to go. You need 16 more wins to actually talk shit.
Yeah, exactly.
2-month journey coming up. So I do agree with that. Looking at rotations and stuff, I guess it's a good time before we go preview the series a little bit. Ben Simmons is looking to come back by game 3. But today he put an Instagram story up of this emoji he uses, like with like smoke coming out of his nose before he plays games. And he put his shoes on the story saying like something like that.
What if he plays game one?
It's Sunday. So he has 5 more days. Well, now it's 4. But like, that's not a crazy turnaround. The way the series is like laid out, I forgot how annoying this is in the NBA. There's a lot of gaps in between games. So game 1 is Sunday at Boston. Game 2 is Wednesday, so 2 days off. Then game 3 is Saturday. So we may not see him game 1. We may. I don't know what the Instagram story means. Maybe it just means he's coming back, but not this game. But
he's
game
coming. 3 is Saturday. He's going to play. Shams
by game 3, it's a lock. By game 3, it's a lock. Yeah. I don't know if he's playing in Boston, but by game 3 next Saturday, that's like a week, like 10 days from now, he's going to be there. And I think if the Nets can steal a game in Boston – it's legitimate chance. I think the Nets, having Ben Simmons, I think the Nets can win this series.
Yeah, Sean Schumacher went on the Pat McAfee show yesterday, and he had said Ben Simmons is targeting a return in the first round. And he said game 1 and 2 might be unlikely, but by game 3, he would be surprised if he's not playing by game 4, if everything goes well. So, and he said Ben is very confident that he will be able to return in the first round. So that's also really cool to hear. At the same time, it's just like it's a huge get for the Nets to get Ben Simmons back. And I mean, it's going to be interesting. We're going to have a few more pods before that happens, most likely, unless like out of nowhere he's available for game 1 on Sunday. So yeah, we'll that's going to be interesting. But if he could come in and he could provide 15 to 20 minutes of guarding either Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum throughout the course of the game, that's huge for the Nets.
He has great career stats against those guys. I was looking up stats. Like
I saw that too.
Under on him, them.
I think Tatum averages only like 17 points against Ben. And like, usually we all know Tatum's like a 25 point per game scorer. So, and Tatum usually kills the Nets. So that would be huge.
Yeah. Like anything, just to get, like we said, like the Celtics are really long. They have Tatum. They have Brown. Smart's like 6'6" for a point guard. They have Horford, Tice. They have a very big team. And like, running Kyrie, Curry, and Brown is going to be very undersized. So having Simmons out there, like, I don't think he's going to – we said he was going to take Bruce Brown's minutes. Now that Bruce Brown's kind of, like, changed his game, I don't know if that's going to be the case. Maybe, like, take some of Kessler's minutes. Maybe Bruce goes from, like, 40 to, like, 30 to 35. I don't know. I think Nash is going to have to learn on the go with rotations because I don't know if it's a clear-cut answer here. It's kind of just mixing and matching, I would guess. But – it's going to be interesting. Like, I think the Nets really, really do have a good shot. Like, I think that we kind of know who's going to be in the rotation at this point. There's no Blake. There's no LaMarcus. There's no Cam. From the guys that played yesterday, that's what I expect playing forward. moving forward. Maybe Kess comes out for Ben. I don't know. Like, we'll have to see on that. But I think that we have a kind of our set 8 to 9 man rotation. Don't you agree?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it definitely seems like it's all but a guarantee at this point that just like Kessler is there to fill in minutes for Ben. And like, I guess like the rotation might get a little bigger because I mean, in the minutes that Ben can't play, if you still want a little bit of size, you throw Kessler out there for a little bit. And obviously you still have Bruce Brown playing at the level that he's playing. And you have Seth Curry. Patty Mills has earned his way back into the rotation. He's been playing very, very well as of late. So, I mean, it seems that we're on the right track. I mean, 8 and then probably 9 if you keep Kessler in and just throw some Ben Simmons minutes in there. So, looks like it's pretty much set at this point.
Yeah, and then we said the Celtics have their kind of set 8 or 9 guys to say it's 8. They go starting with Smart, Horford, Brown, Tice, and Tatum. And off the bench, probably only going to see Pritchard, Derek White, and Grant Williams. So they're not very deep. I know people kept saying, who's going to be the third scorer for the Nets? They have a lot of third scorers. Seth Curry can pop off for 20. Andre Drummond can pop off for 20. Freaking Goran Dragic, maybe not Goran Dragic. Maybe Patty Mills. Maybe, like, Bruce Brown. Like,
it feels like everybody in the Nets rotation could pop off for at least 15 a night.
I think the Nets' third best player is ever rotating door of whoever has the hot hands. And I'm not saying that to be like cliche, but it's really true. Like Bruce can go for 16. Like Seth Curry can make 4 or 5 threes. Patty Mills can make 4 or 5 threes. Like Drummond yesterday, 18 points. That's like a good third point score. Like you know what I mean? Like it's not really like I think it's getting overblown. And I think the Celtics, if anything, have to worry about their depth being the real issue here. Cause I'm not losing sleep with Horford going off or Tice. Or even Pritchard, like Grant Williams can make a few threes here, maybe Smart, but like it's not like they have like a third guy that's going to drop 30 on us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a guy like Derek White could easily go off for like 20, but it's just like I feel like he's the only one that like we really got to worry about outside of the usual suspects.
And I think our bigs match up pretty well against their bigs. I'm not like of all the bigs in the Eastern Conference, Horford and Tice are pretty manageable to defend. You can't leave them open looking. Yeah. They can hit the three ball. But I think Drummond and Claxton, we don't have to worry about that much about like in those situations, like about like getting switched on with those guys. Like, yeah, against Tatum or Brown, like obviously they're going to struggle more so Drummond's, not Claxton, but you know what I mean? Like, I think the Nets will be in pretty good shape in that regards. I do wanted to point out yesterday, like Claxton played that entire fourth quarter at the bigs. I think Nash could do it every game just because you don't want to get into a situation where they're just fouling Drummond on purpose. Like to just get the free throws, which not that Claxton's a great shooter, but he's respectable enough where you can't do that. Typically, you do that for guys below 50% because you'd rather take, you say, oh, he makes 1 out of 2. It's less than scoring 2 times. Claxton's around like the 60 mark. So you kind of don't do that with him. That's kind of way teams look at that kind of stuff. But like the odds of Drummond making 2 for 2, I just feel like that's what's going to happen. So I feel like Drummond, like it's going to be like 2/3 first half Drummond, 2/3 Claxton second half. I think that's the way they're going to split the minutes up.
Yeah, no, it definitely makes sense. I couldn't agree more. I mean, I like the way that our bigs match up. I'm not going to really stress too much about that matchup. What I'm really just worried about is who's guarding Jaylen Brown. Because that's the big, if Ben is there, I mean, Tatum or Brown can both take on KD. KD can take on either one of them, but it's just like, who's guarding the other one in the minutes that Ben can't play? I mean, I guess you could throw Bruce Brown on Jaylen Brown and see how it works.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of booings Sunday between Bruce Brown, Kyrie Irving coming back again. It's going to be a toxic series. I don't think it's going to be any love lost for either side. Like, obviously, the players respect each other. I think Kyrie's still close to Tatum and Jaylen. Durant and Tatum have this mutual love for each other. So I don't think it's going to be bad in that regards, but the fan base is definitely. Looking on FanDuel, they're actually almost even in series odds. Celtics are favored in game one. I think just each team's to be favored at home. That's the way it's looking like, depending on how the series plays out. The Nets are actually plus 600 to win the championship. While the Celtics are plus 1,200, so that's interesting that they're even in series odds. But for future odds, the Nets are double the Celtics. I think that's pride to experience. But it's going to be fun. I think push comes to shove. You want star players in the playoffs. I think I take KD and Kyrie over Tatum and Jaylen over as a duo. Like, duo versus duo. Just your role players have to outplay the other team's role players.
Yeah. But then even when you think about it, like our role players, I'll put our guys up against almost anybody. Up against almost anybody else in the league.
Yeah. You can't look ahead. Like, I know Milwaukee's sitting there in the second rounds. We're assuming they're going to beat the Bulls. You have to beat the Celtics first. They're not the same Celtics last year where we just played with our food. Like, they were playing Evan Fournier, Kemba Walker, and Jabari Parker last year. Those guys aren't on the Celtics anymore. Like, the Celtics team is better coached. They have our former assistant, Ayam Aduka. He's making comments about the Bruce Brown stuff, saying, like, Horford and Tice are more than capable defenders, whatever. Like, they're very, very well coached. They can play great defense. They're better on offense this year. They're tighter in rotations. I think it's going to be a very, very long series. I say it 100% goes 6 or 7. I don't see any way it doesn't. Like,
yeah,
how about you? Like, I don't think we're going to sweep it. I don't think they're going to sweep it. I think it's going to be tough. I don't know what to expect. Obviously, I hope the Nets pull it out. We're going to survive bad shooting nights if we have one, though. It's going to be tough to survive those bad KD or Kyrie shooting nights. Because I know we mentioned they kind of don't go off in the same night, even though yesterday they kind of did, like, for the first time, I think.
Yeah.
So you kind of need, like, those performances. But in the playoffs, I trust those guys. They both have championship pedigree. Like, it's not like we have the guys that haven't done it before and been there.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun, though. Like, I really am excited for this series. It sucks. We got to wait till Sunday, but I think our guys could use the rest. The Nets
definitely could use them.
Since April 2nd. Isn't that crazy?
What'd you say?
The last time the Nets left New York was, like, April 2nd because they played 4-5 at home and one was against the Knicks.
Yeah, and I mean, we were thinking and remember, we were talking about, like, Kyrie wouldn't be able to play until, like, literally, like, almost the, like, it would have been the play-in if we were still a lower seed.
And we had the home game, so it probably would have been to, like, Sunday. It would have been, like, almost, like, 3 weeks off. Who knows?
Yeah, if we make it out of the play-in without Kyrie, especially with that performance he had last night. I don't think we do.
Exactly. So, thank God Kyrie's back. Thank God I don't have to worry about stuff. I'm excited for the series. We may end up collabing, or I may end up collabing with the Celtics Ethos Nets podcast. Previewing the series, I'm sure me and Cody will do one pod before game one because game one's always Sunday.
Yeah,
we'll probably do, like, a more in depth series preview, I would say, because right now it's still very preliminary. Maybe we'll get a Simmons update, like, when it gets closer, because Nash is still just talking out of his ass. So I don't think we're getting information out of him.
Yeah, we're not gonna get anything.
Anything you want to say about the series or about the games or about the Nets, like, in general, before we wrap it up?
Oh, no, it's been a really, really weird season, and I mean, what other way to do it than to have a really, really weird championship run coming out of the 7th seed?
Officially clinched. I forgot to mention that. The Nets officially clinched. I don't know if we consider the play-in.
Yeah.
The Nets are going to the playoffs. They made the playoffs 7 out of 10 times now in Brooklyn. I say it's a little bit of an underrated run, personally speaking. I think.
Yeah, because it looks so, like, it looks so grim for a while. So. Yeah.
The 2 year stretch, and the 2.5 year stretch, no draft picks, like, before Sean Marks,
brutal.
The beginning of it.
Brutal.
Very ugly. I know this, like, and since these guys signed here, like, it really hasn't been, like, a cakewalk at any point. Like, constant drama, constant injuries, constant stuff off the court. But this is probably, like, the most positive run I'd say we had, it, like, in a while, in terms of, like, the last two and a half weeks of, like, since the Atlanta game. I think it's really been, like, positive vibes. Like, I feel like we've been
getting
good results. We're on a 5-game winning streak. So let's keep the winning streak going. Let's try to take this game, because I know if we end up facing up against Milwaukee, they'll probably be well rested. Yeah, I'm assuming they take care of the Bulls in 4 or 5. So let's try to get this done as quick as possible.
I need a DeMar and Zach to push them to the limit.
At least 6. Give us 2 games. Give us 2.
Yeah.
If you win the series, I love you even more, because then we'll just cakewalk.
Right. Exactly.
But, that's all I have. I think you're good too.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you guys tuning in to the Sports Ethos Nets podcast. By next episode, we should be full strength. Thank you guys for listening. I am your co-host, Anthony Dittmar, and I'm joined by Joe Farrow. So thank you guys for listening once again. Glad the Nets got the play-in win. We'll look forward to seeing this round 1 playoff run take place.